Good morning. Last time we talked about the Tamei HaMitzvos in general, meaning to say what's the general purpose of mitzvos, and today we're going to focus more on particular mitzvos or how one approaches Tamei HaMitzvos for particular mitzvos. Just to recap quickly what we saw a very important Ramban. The Ramban said that even though we call chukim mitzvos that we don't understand, that doesn't mean to say that they don't have a reason. They do have a reason. It's just that the reason is hidden to us, it's mysterious, we don't know what it is, but certainly there is no such thing as a mitzvah without a reason. Moreover, the reason is l'tov lach, it's for our benefit. In fact, the Ramban elaborates on that. We'll see it a little later when we talk about the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. The Ramban points out that this is the meaning of the Medrash, which says that what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care if you do Shechita from the front or the back? The mitzvos were only given Letzarif Esabrios. Now we're going to see that that Memra of Chazal is a very important Memra and is interpreted differently by all of the different approaches. So the Maral understands that Memra as a riot to his Mahalich for Tamei HaMitzvos. The Rambam, we'll see, uses it as a riot for his Mahalich of Tamei HaMitzvos. And the Ramban uses it as a riot for his Mahalich of Tamei HaMitzvos. What does it mean, v'chi ma'achbis la'akadosh baruch hu, if Shechita is min ha'tzavar or min ha'oref? The answer is that God doesn't care, because mitzvos aren't given for God. They're not given to help God. Like we saw, the Pasuk in Iyov says, rather, the purpose of mitzvos is letzarif esabrios, for humans, letov lanu, and not just letov lanu, but for our benefit, to perfect us, to make us better people. And we'll see further examples. The last source we saw was a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara asked, what is the reason why the Torah does not give the reasons for mitzvos? And the Gemara answers, well, in a couple of cases, such as the prohibition against lo yarbe lo susim, the Torah did in fact give the reason, and Shlomo HaMelech believed that therefore the reason wasn't applicable to him. Eventually that led to his downfall, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides the reasons from us. So we're on page 5 of the source book, and we're going to start off with a Toras Kohanim. The Toras Kohanim is very famous. Rashi quotes it. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Minayin shelo yomar adam yefshi lilvo shatnez, yefshi lachol b'sar chazi, or yefshi lavo ala erva, aval efshi uma aseh, she'avi sheba shamayim gazar alai. Talmud lomar, v'abdil eschem min ha'amim lios li. Shetei havdalascha mehem lishmi, v'lo ledas atzmachem. Nimsa porish min aveira umekabel alav malchu shamayim. That a person shouldn't say that I don't want to do it, the aveira, for a particular reason. Rather, lishmi. Shetei havdalascha mehem lishmi. Now, we could understand this two ways. At first, it sounds like a person should not really look for tamei mitzvos. A person should not try to figure out the reason, certainly for chukim, but even arayos. A person should say, why am I fulfilling the mitzvah, the mitzvos? L'shem shamayim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it, not because of any particular reason. And indeed, that's how it's understood by some. However, as we will see shortly, many, many Rishonim, as you certainly know, do indeed look for tamei HaMitzvos. And if so, so how would they understand this Toras Kohanim? The answer, I believe, is very simple. And it's an important yesod in Tamei HaMitzvos, which is that even when we do come up with a reason, whether it's a reason for Shatnez or Arayos or the like, we recognize that our ultimate motivation for doing the mitzvos is L'shem Shemaim. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it. We're not doing it for the reason, rather, like the Medrash says, Shetehei havdalascha mehem lishmi. We're doing it l'shem shemaim. Why then would we search for reasons? Searching for reasons will help us. It will deepen the mitzvah, will make it more meaningful, it will It's a chelek in Talmud Torah, but nevertheless, the motivation for the mitzvah should be lishmi. The Rambam, in Hilchos Me'ilah, Perek Ches, famously writes about the importance of looking for tamei mitzvos. Ra'u la'adam lizbonin b'mishpatei ha'Torah k'dosha v'leida sof inyanam k'fi kocho. That a person, to the extent of possible, should try to understand the tamim. V'davar shelo yimtza lo tam v'lo yeda lo ila, someone who can't find a reason or a purpose, al tikal be'ena v'al yaharos la'los al Hashem, pen yifrotz bo. We actually saw the Rambam using that pasuk earlier in the year as a reference to not trying to understand things that are beyond a person's capability. Earlier we saw him use it with respect to Maisa Bereshis and Maisa Merkava, now he's using it with respect to Tamei HaMitzvos. But the meaning is the same. V'lo te machshavto bo kemachshavto bo b'shar divrechol. A person's perspective should not be towards mitzvos as it is towards secular matters. Meaning to say that when it comes to secular matters, if there's something that doesn't make sense, if there's something that I don't understand, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to reject it. Whereas when it comes to tamei hamitzvos, or mitzvos in general, that's not the case. Even though I don't understand it, it's something that I should practice nevertheless. And the Rambam continues along this line. In the end, he gives examples about chukim. He talks about what chukim are. We'll talk about that a little later. So we should note that a number of the chukim on his list of chukim are karbanos, and we'll spend time explaining the Rambam's position about karbanos. And then he continues and concludes Hilchos Me'ilah, V'kamaya David HaMelech mitzdar min aminim v'hagayim shayu meshivin al achukim v'chol zman shehayu rodfin oso b'tshuvos hasheker. Chukim are things that the Gayim torment us, the Minim torment us with. They say, what are you doing? These things that don't make any sense. However, the more they pursued him, the Rambam says, Hayamosif Dveka Batorah. This would add Dvekus to Torah. Shenemar, Taflu Alaya, Sheker, Zedim, Ani, Becholev, Atsur, Pikudecha. Venemar Sham, Beinyan, Kol mitzvosecha emunal, your mitzvos are faithful, sheker v'dachuni, they pursue me with lies, azreini, help me. It's very interesting that the Rambam writes that their pursuing him causes David HaMelech to be mosif dveikus. But the yesod is presumably that the recognition and the submission that comes from observing chukim, comes from observing mitzvos which we don't understand, is valuable in and of itself. And another dimension, another reason why, alluded to here by the Rambam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tell us tamei hamitzvos, is because when we do a mitzvah out of obedience, so that's something that could increase dveikus. And that too is a theme we'll see shortly. Rav Hirsch wrote in 19 letters about tamei mitzvos. Rav Hirsch, as you know, was a thinker who spent a lot of time on tamei mitzvos in Chorev and in other places. He vehemently rejected the Rambam's approach in Mor Nevuchim to tamei mitzvos, but he himself offered many mitzvos, tamei mitzvos as well. And he writes that offering tamei mitzvos is something which is very, very risky. There are worries to be weighed. Might I not cause harm instead of helping? And in continuation, and suppose my attempts fail, will not those who would gladly do away with the cause for which I am living use my abortive efforts to strangle this cause entirely? See here, they would gloat. Some entirely new attempts to rehabilitate Judaism, total failures. So here he alludes to the dangers of tamei mitzvos, and there are many. First of all, if you offer a tam that doesn't seem like a particularly good tam, so it might weaken the mitzvah. Moreover, it could increase people's rationalization. And finally, and perhaps one of the greatest dangers of tamei mitzvos is, as we'll see later, understanding the extent to which they're going to determine the parameters of the mitzvos. Nevertheless, despite the dangers, of course, Rav Hirsch does offer Tamei HaMitzvos, the Rambam offers Tamei HaMitzvos. It's not just, though, the Rishonim and the Achronim that offer Tamei HaMitzvos. If you look in Chazal, Chazal offer many Tamei HaMitzvos. For example, the famous Gemara Nida, Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, Hayir Meir Omer, Mipnei Ma'amra Torah Nida L'Shiva, Mipnei Shiragil Ba V'Katzba. Amra Torah, Tehei Tamei HaShiva Asiyamim, Kedei Shetehei Chaviva Al Ba'ala Keshas K'nisasa L'Chopa. The Gemara here offers a reason for the prohibition, the Isser Bia, for a Nida, and it's to instill excitement into marriage. Now, it's very important here to note the nature of this reason. It's obvious in this case that the reason will not affect the parameters of the mitzvah. Meaning to say, if somebody's a husband goes out of town for 3 months and comes back when his wife is Anida, so obviously, in that case, you could argue that the time of the mitzvah isn't there. There'll be excitement. But nevertheless, obviously, such a husband could not be Baal his wife who is Anida. And the reason is because when it comes to Tamei HaMitzvos, the Tamim don't affect the parameters. We could call these Tamim al-Pidrush, or homiletical reasons. Meaning to say they're homiletical, they're nice, they perhaps add meaning, add dimension to the mitzvah, but nevertheless they don't affect the parameters. We would never say, with respect to mitzvos, or reasons like this, that if the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah doesn't apply. This, of course, is in contrast with Darshinan Taima Dekra, which we'll address shortly. The Sefer HaChinuch, who also offers reasons for all the mitzvos, writes frequently over here in discussing the Tam of Paraduma, how we have to acknowledge our limitations. He talks about how when he was moved to write the reason for Paraduma, his hands weakened. Of course, Chazal tell us that even Shlomo HaMelech couldn't understand the reasons of Tara Duma. Amarti achkema v'hirachoka mimeni. Even though he was able to understand all things, all other mitzvos. And he continues and explains that, like we saw last week in the Ramban, the reason for the difficulty in Chukim, for example, Para Duma, is not that the mitzvah in and of itself doesn't make sense, but particular elements of the mitzvah itself are troublesome. Famously, people talk about, in terms of paraduma, that's mitar tamehim, umitame tahorim. The chinuch actually focuses on something else, that it's avoda bachutz, and it appears to be idolatrous. The chinuch also points out, and this is a very important point when it comes to tamei mitzvos, that here in Mitzvah Tzadi Hei, that even when we do offer reasons for mitzvos, they are but one facet. He says, Yadua davar mefursam beinenu ha'am mekabli ha-mitzvos ki shivim panim la-Torah. There are 70 dimensions to Torah. And likewise, when it comes to tamei mitzvos, even if I offer one reason, that doesn't mean it's the exclusive reason. There can be many other reasons. In fact, if you study Ramban al-HaTorah, you see this a lot. Ramban al-HaTorah will frequently offer multiple reasons for a mitzvah, and often he does so by giving one tam al-pi pshat and one tam al-pi derech ha-emes. In that sense, he's paralleling his pashtanut ha-mikra, where he'll also frequently give an interpretation of the pasuk al-pi pshat and an interpretation al-pi sod. And what the Ramban here is telling you is a couple of things. First of all, that Tamei HaMitzvos are part of understanding Tarsha Bichsav. It's part of Pashtanut. It's part of explaining the Psukim, and that's why he includes it in his Perush Al HaTorah. But moreover, just like in his Perush Al HaTorah, we understand that when he offers a interpretation Al-Pi Pshat, and then he offers an interpretation Al-Pi Drash, Al-Pi Sod, so each of these reasons is not mutually exclusive. Rather, they're explaining a mitzvah on a different dimension from a different perspective. So too, when it comes to Tamei HaMitzvos, they're all true, but from different perspectives, we'll have different elements of the mitzvah. For example, we alluded to before the mitzvah shiluach hakein. So al pipshat, the Ramban says that's to prevent in us coarseness of behavior. And al pisod, he gives a totally different reason. This is also why it's obvious that the reasons for mitzvos won't determine the parameters for the mitzvos. Because after all, if there are multiple reasons, presumably with different implications, so then if you were to offer multiple reasons, then there would be nafkaminas between the reasons, and you couldn't say that both reasons are true simultaneously. Oftentimes, within the different reasons that the Ramban gives for a mitzvah, the example of Shiluach HaKein is a perfect example, there would be a nafkamina between the Tam al Pipshat and the Tam al Pisod. And therefore, it's obvious why we can't allow the reasons to determine the parameters. And thus, the Chinuch says as well, Ki im me'at v'im harbei mimena yochal kula mesuka. However you take it, it's all sweet. Now, I'd like to just make one hosafa to that point, because does that mean to say that there is never a nafkamina al pi tamim al pi drush? So there might in fact be certain parameters, and the Rav Kook gives a fascinating example of this, though as we'll see shortly, it emerges from the understanding of the Nefesh HaChaim as well. Rav Kook points out a fascinating idea. We Paskin, of course, lo darshin on time adikra. So the reasons for mitzvos will not determine the parameters. However, understanding the reasons might have actually a nafkamina, lehalacha. How is that? How is that possible? And why doesn't that contradict the idea that we just said that when it comes to homiletical reasons, we'll never allow them to determine the parameters? And the answer Rav Kook gives is fascinating. It relates to the question of harama. We know, for example, that there are times that we'll find in the Gemara or in Rishonim certain forms of harama, legal fictions or loopholes where, let's say, Hillel, the institution of Prisbol. So the institution of Prisbol is a type of form of harama which basically undermines Hashmatas Ksafim. And the question is that legitimate? At first glance, loopholes are seemingly totally wrong. While they may not violate the letter of the law, they certainly violate the spirit of the law. And here is where Tamei HaMitzvos come in. And they come in both l'kula and l'chumra. They come up l'chumra because it is through Tamei HaMitzvos that we understand the spirit of the law. If we just look at the mitzvah without trying to understand its reasoning, so then we'll only apply the mitzvah or its values to the particular application that the Torah gives. We'll never expand it. But frequently, you'll find different thinkers talk about, and they'll say it differently, how doing this particular activity violates the spirit of the law, it violates the essence of the mitzvah, even if it doesn't technically violate the letter of the law. Well, where are they getting the essence of the mitzvah? How are they determining the spirit of the law? That's through engaging in Tamei HaMitzvos. A certain thinker might say, well, the reason for this mitzvah is so and so, and therefore to do such and such is in violation of the spirit of the law and is therefore wrong. The Chazon Ish, we'll see a little later, does this on many occasions. He talks about how you have to figure out what the Ratzon Hashem is in a particular mitzvah. The way he puts it is the Ratzon HaTorah. And if the Ratzon HaTorah is that a particular thing is wrong, then it's wrong even if it doesn't technically violate the letter of the law. So that's how Tamei HaMitzvos will expand a mitzvah. And that's one nafkamina for Tamei HaMitzvos. But they also go the other way when it comes to harama. And that is the following. When the spirit of the law doesn't apply, then harama becomes legitimate. Harama is inappropriate when it causes a person to violate the spirit of the law, like we said before. However, if we take the example of Hillel, so Hillel was misakein Prisbol. The purpose of Hashmatas Ksafim relates to the fact that halvos were meant to be a form of tzedakah, and Hashmatas Ksafim was an opportunity to allow people that we're overburdened by debts to start again, to begin anew, to have a second chance, and not to be totally weighed down in their debts. It's ultimately meant to help the aniyim, who otherwise have such a difficult time. However, what happened? Ra Hillel, shenimnu ha'am mil halvo zazah. Meaning to say that for better or for worse, and this may have been a reflection of the weakness of the generation, but the mitzvah was undermining its very purpose, because instead of helping the aniyim, the mitzvah of hashmatas ksafim was hurting the aniyim. They were unable to get loans because people were afraid of losing their capital. And therefore, amad v'hiskin prusbo. Now, he couldn't just do away with the law. That's part of the Gemara and Gittin, exactly whether he was, whether he wasn't, in terms of understanding the whether Shemitah b'zman hazeh deraisa, but derabanan deraisa. But essentially, he wasn't able to undermine the law. He wasn't able to do away with it, because you have to deal with the letter of the law. But once there's a harama, once there's an eitzah to figure out a way so as not to violate the letter of the law, then we will allow it to uphold the spirit of the law. Now that also yields a very important nafkamina. If somebody was asks the question, so is it l'chatchila appropriate to use a prusbol? Well, I think the answer then is we have to go back to the Tam HaMitzvah, and we'll ask, what type of loan is it? If I'm lending money to someone, you know, they're very wealthy and they need to borrow $500,000 to repave their tennis courts in the Bahamas in their third home, they just don't have a lot of free capital at present, it's all tied up in investments, so they need some liquid cash, so then perhaps, presumably, making a prusbol would be no problem with l'chatchila. On the other hand, if somebody is lending money to an ani, one's certainly allowed to use a prusbol, that was its purpose, but if somebody was asking, is using a prusbol in such a case l'chatchila, we may say no, because ideally in that case, perhaps, we would try to go back to the Tam HaMitzvah. Rav Kook applies this in a very fascinating example. He writes about this idea that I'm telling you in his Sefer on Chos Shemitah, and he writes the following. He says that what is the purpose of Shemitas Karkos? Well, we know that there are several Tamei HaMitzvos. It's to help give aniyim what to eat. It's to cause people to stop working for a year, to dedicate their lives to Hashem, various purposes. But, he argues, that those purposes aren't being achieved nowadays. And therefore, he wrote that the heter mechira is legitimate. Of course, he writes this very limitedly. He wasn't excited about the heter mechira, but it was legitimate because we could look at the Tam HaMitzvah, and we'll see when considering the Tamei HaMitzvos that the reason in this case doesn't apply. Well, it's true, if the reason doesn't apply, I can't just do away with the mitzvah, but once I have a legitimate loophole, and therefore I'm not violating neither the letter of the law nor the spirit of the law, so then it's okay. As Lashon, which you could see on page 9, is V'afal gav shadvarim yegiim im darshinan taima dekra zehu le'inyan dina shelo navor al divrei Torah l'kula mitzad hatam. If it's true that al pitaima dekra we could be mako, well, we don't hold darshin on time of dekra, so on its own we can't be mako, but nevertheless vadei shapir dami lahoro shenucha linahog bedavar al yedei harama hamuteres. In such cases, harama is legitimate. And with this, we can understand the various haramos, whether it's the Heter Iska, or the Heter Mechira, or the like. And it's very important to understand this idea, because many people see haramos, and they're very bothered by it. Either they say, look, all we care about is the letter of the law, and as long as you get around the letter of the law, it's legitimate, which, as we see now, based on this yesod, is not true. Or they say, we could come up with any type of harama to justify just about anything, and hereto we see that's not true. Returning to the Sefer Chinuch on page 6, he continues, Dabni, Ki kol, bottom right. Ki kol asher yagia etzel Hashem Yisbarach ba'asos b'nei Adam kol mitzvosav einenu rak shechafetz Hashem Yisbarach lehetiv lanu. Like we talked about last week we quoted it from the Ramchal. Here we see the Chinuch writing it, that everything, of course, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is kedei lehetiv lanu. Uviyos ha'adam mukhshar umuchan be'asiyas osim ha'mitzvos l'kabal ha'tova az yitav elav Hashem. The purpose, of course, of the mitzvos is to allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to then be meitiv to us. And he continues in that line about how observance of the mitzvos are to our benefit. However, he continues, skipping now to the left column, a couple lines from the end. However, the ideal motivation for mitzvos is ad shiyasimu kol kavanas hachanas gufam kedei lahashlim chafetz Hashem yisbarach l'rov chashka moso. He writes that the ideal person does mitzvos not because of the reasons for the mitzvos, not because of the benefit they'll accrue from doing the mitzvos, but out of dveikus, l'rov chashkam to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is exactly how we saw earlier, we explained the Taras Kohanim, that even as the Sefer HaChinuch goes ahead and gives us reasons for all of the mitzvos, we shouldn't use those reasons as our motivation for doing the mitzvos, though they might make the mitzvah more meaningful. Rather, ultimately, our purpose, our reasons for doing the mitzvos is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them. And this yisod, of course, is going to be especially important in terms of reasons given, like we'll see those given by the Rambam. The Rambam will, in Mar Nevuchim, offer historical reasons, sociological reasons, biological reasons for mitzvos, many of which, of course, are no longer relevant. If the Rambam says the reason for a particular mitzvah, and the Rambam says, indeed, this is the reason for many, many, many mitzvos, is because of the idolatrous inclinations of the Jewish people at the time of their departing Egypt, that of course makes us uncomfortable, because we live in a world where, for the most part, most of us don't have too many idolatrous inclinations. And the answer is partially, like we said before, that many reasons, and this is just one dimension, Shimon Panim LaTorah. The other component is what we see here in the Chinuch, that the reason shouldn't be our motivation. Yes?
Does the Rav ever say anything about the fact that he thinks that there are multiple reasons to mitzvot?
So it's very interesting. The Rambam does not, generally speaking, give multiple reasons. Sometimes he says maybe this, maybe that. We're going to look through the Mar Nevuchim and see certain examples. So sometimes he does offer multiple similar reasons, like in Basar B'Chalav. First he says maybe Basar B'Chalav is too fatty, and then he argues that it's because of the Jewish people, the connection between Basar B'Chalav and Avodah Zarah, and he explains Psukim based on that. So he does sometimes give multiple reasons, though those are similar types of reasons, but he does give multiple reasons. But also, even in those very examples, the Rambam generally does not present it like the Ramban, where he says, okay, this is one reason, I'll pi pshat, and here's another reason, I'll pi sod. But when you put together all the different Rambams, and we're going to do this Bezras Hashem when we talk about the Rambam on Karbanos, we'll see that he gives multiple reasons for Karbanos. In one place, he says it's because of idolatry. In another place, he says it's because he sounds like the Ramban. And he gives reasons very similar to the Ramban. So, yes, the Rambam does indeed give multiple reasons for mitzvos. And were that not to be the case, it would be very troubling how the Rambam could write a Sefer Avodah and Sefer Karbanos and still also write what he does about Karbanos. So we're going to have a chance, Bezras Hashem. Well, when we get to the Rambam, we'll get there and we'll develop that idea as well. Yes?
A general question. Since Talmud de Krokenheim used to regard the spirit rather than the letter of the law, but when the Ramban says on the same comment, Kedoshim to you, Shmei Novel, Bershus HaTorah, so what is a novel is determined by our understanding of the spirit of the law.
Yeah.
So, but when the Ramban's understanding of Kedoshim to you, that's ascertainable mitzvah, though. It's not just a matter.
Absolutely.
Of,
that's an excellent point, which is you see from the Ramban, the spirit of the law, or Ratzon HaTorah more generally, it's not necessarily associated with a particular law, but Ratzon HaTorah generally, and sometimes a particular law, becomes not just external to the Torah, It's not just a value that we should do because that's Ratzon Hashem, but it itself becomes a mitzvah, and that is the mitzvah of Kedoshim to you as well as others. Absolutely.
So in a certain sense, it becomes incorporated into the
spirit of the law, becomes part of the letter of the law. Yes?
Regarding, for example, Shiloh HaKan and anything like that, the reasons given to the Rambam, but do we not have a machlokes poskim on that point itself?
Yes. When we get to Shiloh HaKan, we'll see those examples. That would be an example, though. Even that machlokes haposkim is—I think the poskim who use the tam al pi sod don't say necessarily it's a chiyuv, but that one should. Meaning to say, if you hold like the simple reason, so then if you don't need the egg, there's no point in doing Shiloh HaKan. If you paskin like the reasons al pi sod, then I don't know if you're chayev, but it's recommended. So you're correct, that's another example where they will affect whether one should or one shouldn't, though it wouldn't necessarily create a chi of gamor. Yes, absolutely. But that's memela, because it's not tzar balechaim if it's l'toeles. Okay, well, we're going to talk also later on probably about shiluach hakein, because that's another example where you see the analysis of the Rishonim really highlight their different approaches to Tamei HaMitzvos. The Nefesh HaChayim has a slightly different approach, but I think it works nicely with what's seen until now. The bottom left of page 6, the Nefesh HaChayim writes in Shar Aleph, Perkhaf Aleph, U'kishem shekol gufo shel adam ole u'mizdakech al yidei esek ator v'amitzvos, just like a person is purified through Torah and mitzvos. Kach ha'olamos kulam asher hein hema shir komas adam kemoshe kasavti l'el perk vav heim mizdakekim umistaharim umisalim. And this, of course, is the major theme of the Nefesh HaChayim, how through doing Torah and mitzvos, we are misakein the olamos ha'olyonim in ways which we are not capable of even imagining. And here he presents another component to the purpose of mitzvos. Mitzvos don't just make us improve our character, the notion that we saw expressed by the Ramban. They're not just lasake nesa olam and to improve society, the idea that we saw in the Rambam, but they're also lasake nesa haolamos haolyonim v'chulei v'chulei. He continues, V'adam ha'yashar ha'uved amiti lo yifne da'ato machshavto b'chol b'eis avodasol lo yisbar shemo afilu k'dei la'alos u'latar gufo v'nafsho. And this should even affect the motivation when doing the mitzvos. A person when doing the mitzvos should not be l'tahir gufo v'nafsho ela shiyale toar machshavto v'kavanaso u'pine l'mala l'tikun v'taras ha'olyonim ha'olamos ha'olyonim. Oh, that should be our motivation. Now, there's a very interesting idea that the Meshe Chachma takes from this, and he writes it in several places, and that is that he says, if you look at it, if you consider the matter, you'll see that we've seen two different types of tamim. One is primarily human-focused, to improve a person, to improve their midos, or to perhaps improve society and get rid of the evils of society or of human nature, human focused. And then he says, on the other hand, you also see the not anthropocentric perspective, but more the olamos perspective, the broader mystical perspective. So the Meshe HaChachma suggests that that is the machlokas in the Gemara in Nida about whether mitzvos betelos l'asid lavo. The Gemara there has two opinions. Are mitzvos betelos l'asid lavo, or are they not betelos l'asid lavo? Now, parenthetically, since I'm mentioning this, let me just elaborate for one moment so as to correct a common misconception. People see that Gemara, and they say, ah, you see, there's a machlokas about the yesod of the Rambam. The Rambam, of course, said that mitzvos are einan betelos li'olam. And you see from that Gemara, as well as other Gemaras that talk about whether particular mitzvos are batel or not batel, that The Rambam's position is really the subject of debate. Perhaps we will elaborate on this point later on in the year when we do Yud Gimel Ikarim, and we'll talk about some of the examples that people bring of cases where there is dispute about the Rambam's Tameh, the Rambam's Ikarim. However, to explain this particular point right now briefly, it really is not a question, and that is because of the following. Everybody, if you look over there at the, well, some are very bothered by this question, Derech Agav. They're bothered by this question, they're bothered by the Christian claim that mitzvos are enem betelos lasid lavo. And the Rashba, for example, understands that Gemara just means that the mitzvos are not noagos bekever, meaning to say that when a person is dead, there's no obligation to observe mitzvos. Now, you may say that's obvious. Well, there are perhaps nafkaminas. Can you be buried in kilayim and the like? However, most Rishonim point out, if you look, for example, at the Ritva and the like, that this is not a problem for the Rambam, because this question, the Gemara's question of whether mitzvos betelos lasid lavo or not, is talking about Olam Haba. It's not talking about Yemos HaMashiach. The Rambam writes that Bimos HaMashiach, the Olam, will continue to be Noeg Ketivo. There are those that disagree. They perhaps understand perhaps a more miraculous understanding of Yemos HaMashiach. How do you interpret the Nevuos in Yeshayahu? Do we understand them more literally or less literally? But either way, Yemos HaMashiach is a continuation of Olam Hazeh, whereas Olam Haba is a new existence. And even if we're going to assume that in Olam Haba there is going to be a physical body, unlike the Rambam, it's still a new world existence. It's a spiritual existence. Lo ochlin, velo shosim, elanenim iziv hashchina. The Rambam says that there isn't even a physical body. But even if we take the more Kabbalistic approach, which seems to be the approach of Chazal in numerous places, and again, hopefully, later in the year we'll have a chance to develop this as well, but even if you take that approach, it's a new existence. And therefore, if one says that mitzvos are betelos lasid lavo, meaning to say, in Olam Haba, so that doesn't pose a problem for the Rambam, because so long as Olam Hazeh continues, the mitzvos continue to be operative, really according to either reading of the Gemara. Be that as it may, the Chinuch, the Meshech Chachma explains, and again, that point's not directly relevant to our point, so we'll have a chance, hopefully, to get back to that a little later. The Meshech Chachma has the following very interesting approach. He says, what is the debate about mitzvos, betelos, lasid lavo, or not? He says it depends on the purpose of mitzvos. If you assume that mitzvos are primarily for humans, they're human-centered, they're anthropocentric, so then it makes a lot of sense that mitzvos will be betelos, lasid lavo. If there's no longer yetzer hara, if there's no longer umala ha'aretz deas Hashem, so the reasons for the mitzvos that are meant to be misakin society aren't necessary. If the mitzvos that are meant to overcome our animalistic desires, so then lasid lavo, so there will be no reason for mitzvos. And that would explain the opinion in Chazal of mitzvos betelos lasid lavo. If, however, you take the approach of the mekubalim, of the nefesh chaim, and the like, that the primary purpose of mitzvos is to be mesakein the olamos ha'alyonim. They're not human-centered, but they are, I don't know if I would say God-centered, but at least non-human-centered. So then we would say mitzvos are einan betelos lasid lavo. It makes a lot of sense why even lasid lavo, it would be necessary to be mesakein the olamos ha'alyonim and the like. So that's how the Meshech Chachma considers perhaps understanding this machlokas, the machlokas about whether mitzvos betelos lasid lavo or not, perhaps gets to the very heart of the purpose of mitzvos in general. Yes, but it's mistaber, I think. I think it's mistaber, certainly in one direction, meaning to say that that Lasid Lavo, if you assume that they're meant to be Misake and Kilkulim, then there won't be a need for them. But we don't know too much about Olam HaSalyonim, at least I don't, but you could imagine the need to be Misake and Olam HaSalyonim, even Lasid Lavo. The Nefesh HaChaim continues, but yeah.
Why do we care about the Olam HaSalyonim?
Ah, that's a very good question.
We don't know what they are.
For that, you have to learn Nefesh HaChaim. Maybe another time.
Our world?
Yes, in a certain sense. But part of it is because one's purpose in being Oved Hashem ideally should be to get beyond their own self. And that is whether you say on one level that we do mitzvos l'kayim ritzon Hashem, like we saw before in the chinuch, or whether you understand it as the purpose of being megalek kvod malchuso ba'olam, or whether you understand it as being mesaken olam osal yonim, the notion that one's motivation for doing mitzvot should go beyond their own personal benefit is a very important theme in terms of Torah and mitzvot. It's not just about us, or as we considered last week, even if in one sense it's entirely about us, on another sense or in a different dimension or in a different plane, it's not. Perhaps another time, though, we can go a little further into understanding. Certainly I'm not equipped to teach you anything really about the Olam HaSalyonim, but the basic mahalich of the Nefesh HaChaim, perhaps we could elaborate upon at another point. Yes, Nathan. Absolutely, absolutely, and being mekalkel the world, the famous medrash that the Mesil Shishan quotes at the beginning, how the sins that a person does are machriv the olam. Absolutely. Okay, the Nefesh HaChaim continues and then says, "Vizu haisa kol inyan avodasam shel ha'avos." The notion that the avos were mekayim kol atar kula could be explained through this reason. The notion that the avos kept the mitzvos is something that is troublesome to many. Indeed, it's a machlokas harishonim. And of course, the question that arises is how do you deal with examples where the avos seem to have violated the mitzvos? There are many approaches. The Marban is machalik between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. The Maral is machalik between mitzvos aseh and mitzvos lo aseh. However, the Nefesh HaChaim says very simply that the avos were not mitzuvim. Lo hayu mitzuvim va'osim kach mitzad hadin. Dim kein. Lo hayu ma'amidim chas v'shalom al datam v'hasagasam ad shesigu shelefi inyan shorish nishmasam ha'achreyach lahem la'avur u'lashanos af miktsas me'achas mikol mitzvos Hashem. Meaning to say the following. What happened is the avos understood that there were certain instances that it would have been better not to fulfill the mitzvos. That mitzad shorish nishmaso, Yaakov Avinu realized it was important for him to marry two sisters. But this could be understood according to any approach you take to Tamei HaMitzvos. They looked at the Tamei HaMitzvos and they said that in this case, the Tam doesn't apply. The Tam, the prohibition, the reason for the prohibition against marrying two sisters does not apply in this case. However, of course, if there was a tzivoy, if the avos were mitzuvim, we already saw that one can't disregard a mitzvah even if the tam doesn't apply. One must observe the mitzvos whether the tam applies or whether the tam doesn't apply. For example, we can compare the case of Yaakov Avinu marrying two sisters where he realized mitzad shoresh nismaso that the mitzvah doesn't apply to him, the prohibition doesn't apply to him, and therefore he did it, with the famous story in the Gemara about Chizkiyahu HaMelech in Brachos Daf Yod Amud Aleph, who didn't want to have children because he recognized that his children would become Rishayim. And in fact, he was absolutely correct. Menashe caused unbelievable damage. And what he did made a lot of sense. His cheshbon, that it makes sense not to have children, because if I have a child, if I have a son, it's going to uproot all of the gains that I've made during my melucha. And yet, Yeshayahu comes to him and tells him, you're a chote if you take this approach. You're a rasha. Because even if the tam doesn't apply, even if you understand mitzad shorish nishmaso, the mitzvah doesn't apply in this case, you have to observe the mitzvos. But in that sense, the avos were different. Why? Because the avos weren't mitzvah. And when you're an eno mitzvah, then it becomes possible to say that the reason doesn't apply, so there's no value or benefit to doing the mitzvah. In fact, this is the very same idea that we said before from Rav Kook. What does Rav Kook say? Rav Kook says that we look at the tam ha-mitzvah, and even if the tam ha-mitzvah doesn't apply, then we still have to observe the mitzvah, because we're not bederach, we're not eina mitzvah v'osim, we're mitzvah v'osim. However, there's a nafkamina, because just like the avos, we're able to say if the tam doesn't apply, we're not going to observe the mitzvah because we're eina mitzvah, so to us. If we see that the tam doesn't apply, if we could have a legitimate harama, then we too don't have to observe the mitzvah. And Rav Elchanan Wasserman uses this approach in numerous places. The way he puts it is that there are two dimensions, two elements to every mitzvah, to every mitzvah saseh, to every mitzvah lo saseh. Or every time we violate the Torah, we've essentially done two things wrong. One is that the mitzvos have a reason, and if we violate the Torah, if we violate the mitzvos, then we have hurt ourselves. The isurim in the Torah are damaging. So if we do them, we've damaged ourselves. We've been mekalkel ourselves, whether it's a kilkel to our neshama, or the kilkel to the olam. And the second is that there's a merida. We've been morid against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us not to do it, and we've done it anyway. Or when it comes to mitzvah saseh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do it, and we didn't listen to him. So with every mitzvah, with every aveira, there is both a mered, if we violate it, and also a kilkel, which comes from the mitzvah and from the aveira. And it's this duality, it's these two components to every mitzvah and every aveira that leads us to the conclusion that we must observe the mitzvah even when the reason doesn't apply, and so on and so forth, with, of course, the appropriate nafkaminas, which we said. So the idea of Rav Kook, the Nefesh HaChayim, and Rav Elchanan, they all work together very beautifully. Derech Agav, the Nefesh HaChayim, does imply something very interesting, which is that he says, what is the reason why we have to observe a mitzvah even if we know the reason isn't relevant? He doesn't actually give the interpretation that we quoted from Rav Elchanan, that there's still the tzivoy, and therefore there's a mered component if we don't do it. But he actually says a little differently. He writes in Perek Chav Beis on the next page, Kitame mitzvos ad tachlisam lo nizgalu adayin lushum adam ba'olam af lemoshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom. Rak la'adam harishon kodem hachet. Meaning to say that theoretically, if we absolutely positively knew the tam ha-mitzvah without any error, then indeed perhaps we wouldn't have to observe the mitzvah if the reason wasn't relevant. However, nobody since Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChayit, not even Moshe Rabbeinu, understood the reason for every mitzvah. It's interesting that he acknowledges that there was a human, Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChayit, that was able to do it. This relates to his understanding of Pascha Zumasim and the like, and his general understanding of what Chet of Adam HaRishon was, but it is very, very interesting that he makes that point. Then he continues, he says that even though we're not at the Madreg of Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet, to some degree, though, we're able to continue to refine, and therefore he writes on the left column, V'adayin k'shahayis ha-nevuah b'Yisrael, ha-yanavi rishai l'chadish davar, l'hora sha'a l'kach, v'af lavor al-achas mi-mitzvos Hashem, kegon Eliyahu b'har kamel k'yotzei. In other words, when there was still nevuah, So the Navi was able to perceive certain purposes in terms of doing the mitzvos, their purposes or their non-purposes, and therefore, b'toras ha-rasha, like Eliyahu Bahar Carmel, they could abrogate a particular mitzvah. You see, by the way, derech agav, that the Nefesh HaChaim here is taking a stand on the machlokas rishonim. There's a debate as to whether a navi, when we say navi, is allowed to be okir davenator b'klum v'aseh l'horasha l'migdar milsa, whether that's a navi b'taras nivuah, or no, really, it's really a navi b'taras chacham, and it's part of the general principle of yesh l'beis din lako davenatora. There's, if you look at the Tosfos and Sanhedrin and elsewhere, the Rambam deals with this issue. The Nefesh HaChaim assumes, though, that it's based entirely on nevuah, and it's something that only a Navi could do, which is so interesting.
So he doesn't hold that the Beis Din can do that?
Beis Din has it, we'll continue. Amnam ze atzmo hu me asher nitztavinu b'taras Moshe, a love tishmon. This is a chelek of the mitzvah, the obligation of listening to Nevi'im. Shutzivui v'azhar l'shmal divrei anavi, gam kishi yisnavi b'shmo yisbarach l'avar l'eze mitzvah b'shas atzricha l'kach kemo shadarshu razal levad me avodazara. Aval lo chalil l'chadish davar l'kov l'doro. Sharei Esther, haisa achas m'shiva nevios, and still we see that she was unable to add the mitzvah of Purim until they found a Pasuk, which supports it, as the Gemara in Megillah says. Then he says, and certainly when they added the holiday of Hanukkah, there was some sort of scriptural basis for that, which is very interesting, Agav. It answers up the question that many ask on the Ramban's understanding of Baal Tosef, how they could add Hanukkah. Why isn't that a violation of Baal Tosef as Purim was? According to Nefesh HaChaim, you have an answer. There may be other answers. Okay, but then he concludes, still they wouldn't be able to do it. Now, Chachamim are able to do certain things, and that's the Gemara in Yevamos, of course, explains what a Chacham could do, in meaning, say, what a Beis Din could do, what a Navi could do, and so on and so forth. Then, of course, he continues with an important point. Umei Eis, Shabbav Onosenu, as I said, Pascha Nevuah Yisrael, so we're not able to do that. V'yamiku asagasam v'torah sichlam l'shanos af ezit prat me'ezit mitzvah o lahakdim u la'acher zmanachas v'shalom lo novev lo nishmalayam. Even if a holy, holy person tells us that we should do a mitzvah a little earlier, a little later, we can't listen to them because we no longer have this koch of nevuah, and we have to do the mitzvos, the halacha, as they're prescribed. Here, of course, most likely, he's alluding to critiques against Hasidus. We know that much of the Nefesh HaChaim is a critique against certain elements of Hasidus, a response, whether you see it as a response to Hasidus in general. Many components of the Nefesh HaChaim are specifically responses to things that you could see in Sefer HaTanya. However, of course, the response of the Nefesh HaChaim was very, very different than that of his Rebbe, the Gra. And anyone who learns and sees how he incorporates and refers to the approach of Hasidim, one of the classical examples is in the beginning of Shar Dalet, but the truth is you see it throughout the whole Sefer, it's one of respect and understanding, even with disagreement. And this is certainly an allusion to that type of thing. He's writing how, since we don't fully understand Tamei HaMitzvos, if someone tells you to do a mitzvah a little earlier, a little later, to change his mind a little bit, then that is something that you certainly can't listen to. And he continues and he writes, even though we know from the Ari that Kavanos, and these Kavanos are very, very important, Amnam, much more important, and that which is ma'akev than the Tamei HaMitzvah, the Kavanos of the Ari, are the actual details of the mitzvos. Okay, we're almost out of it. Yeah. Right, so then the question is, when we paskin lo darshin and time adikra, what's the reason? Is that because we think that one can't Bidorish Taima Dekra, or because we're uncertain whether we actually have the correct reason. In other words, you could understand our rejection of Taima Dekra because we're uncertain that whether or not we have the right reason, and that approach would work nicely with the Nefesh HaChayim, or you could understand, no, that categorically it doesn't really matter because we don't have the authority to use the Tam to determine the parameters, and that would be the case even if we did know with certainty what the mitzvah was.
So then how is Horasha then allowed?
Harasha is allowed Alpi Navi.
You know, but I'm saying I love to use my own. We say that doesn't apply if he says mitzvah is permanently abrogated.
Because those are limitations that are learned from the Torah itself. Meaning to say, as the Gemara Yevamo shows, that the when you apply love tishma'un and that it doesn't apply to Avodah Zarah and that it doesn't apply to Daros, those parameters emerge from the Torah itself. The Torah tells us the conditions under which we can follow a Navi, and the Torah tells us the conditions under which we can't follow a Navi. I was hoping to get to Taima Dekra this week. I guess we'll do that next week. Let me just very briefly make you aware of the issue that we're going to start with next week, which is we've been assuming all today that we paskin lo darshin and Taima Dekra. However, on many, many occasions, you will see instances where we seem to be being dorish Taima Dekra, where we seem to use the reasons for the mitzvos to indeed determine the parameters of the mitzvah. Next week, Be'ezras Hashem, will discuss that. However, this is a topic that interests me a lot and generally relates to the koach of svara, the question of the extent to which human intellect should be used in determining the Ratzon Hashem. How do we approach the Torah? So I wrote an essay on that topic, and I'd like to hear your thoughts. This is, you know, the minhag is to have graduate students do the dirty work, so this is maybe the closest I'll ever get to that. So it starts on page 37 of the source book. It's a little bit lengthy. This is, of course, a draft copy, but it relates a lot to the topic of Taima Dekra and the Darshinan Taima Dekra and the like. So if anyone is interested, I would greatly appreciate it. And this will also be very helpful in terms of next week's shiur. We certainly won't have a chance to get into all of this or most of this. But if anyone would like to read the essay, by all means. And I would greatly appreciate any comments, ha'aros. You could tell me them. You could email them to me on the topic. If you'd like a digital copy, of course, you could also email me and I'll send it to you. And I would greatly appreciate any thoughts on, you don't have to read the whole thing, it'll probably put you to sleep many times over. But whatever Haros, as always, and specifically here, would be greatly appreciated. You should all have a wonderful Shabbos, and thank you very much.